Hello and welcome to the Training Cave podcast. This is episode number 8. And in this episode, I sit down with an old friend of mine, David Sah. I know David from a gym that I previously worked at before I set up the Training Cave. We both worked at a gym called Brain and Brawn in Morley, Leeds. It's now known as Trident Fitness. We sit down, we talk about his life, his starting life. He lived in a different country, he moved over to England. We talk about the places he lived and how he got on, how he found his sport, which is Thai boxing, the gyms that he trained at, the influences in his life. We talk about his coaches, mentors. We also touch a bit on Fight for Peace, which is a company that our gym has just become involved in. So it's good to listen to that side. David, he's a coach, he's an ex-Thai fighter, but now he's also training a fighter in the UFC. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I ask him what advice he'd give to his kids or his former self, advice to other coaches out there that might be willing to listen, and what's next for David. I hope you enjoy this podcast. Thank you, David.
Nice.
Thanks for your time, mate. I've missed you.
Missed you,
I miss the gym, to be honest with you. I miss this place. Always a good laugh for you, wasn't it?
I know, man. But it seemed like it was yesterday, man.
I know, time flies. I've had my gym like 2.5 years now.
2.5 years?
2.5 years, yeah.
Damn.
I think I was here for about 18 months, and that went quick.
It was good. You know, it reminded me of, remember when you took me that picture? I was against that.
Heating. Oh yeah,
every time it comes to my head, yeah. Every time I see it, it comes to my head.
Man. You know what reminds me of you?
What's that?
Whitney Houston.
Hey, I know. Every single morning, breakfast club. I know.
But don't nobody eat gym. Get to about 10 o'clock, dead.
Me and you, dead. Yeah.
Whitney Houston, full blast.
Good time, man.
What's that? What kind of gym is this when people were walking in?
No, but few of them. Gym members, they liked it.
Yeah, they did. They
was funny. Was, I know, yeah.
That's all part of it. The gym, innit? It's that, like, it's a buzz, innit? It's not, nice, they don't feel like I have to come in and just train on their own.
It was fun.
We were having a laugh, weren't we?
It was all about, you know, yeah. Training, but in a fun way.
And we needed it, because we were in here all day, weren't we?
Oh, man, trust me. It was good times, man. Yeah. Good times.
We'll start with, like, we'll talk a bit about your life, like, where it all starts. Obviously, you're not from England, are you, originally?
From Portugal, yeah.
From Portugal. When did you move over and how did that transition happen and where did you move to?
Yeah, so, born and raised in Portugal. I moved to England in 2005. I still remember the day, in the day, June 23rd.
Yeah.
I know, because it was summertime there.
Yeah.
And then one day, my mum said, okay, then pack your bags. Because we used to travel a lot.
Yeah.
Italy, Spain, you name it. Oh, pack your bags, we're going to England. Oh, fair enough, oh, nice, you know, nice holidays. No, we're staying. What? What do you mean we're staying? Yeah, we're staying. So I didn't say bye to my friends. So, the next day, phew.
Gone.
And I came here, it was raining. I went straight to East London, Dagenham. It was just pissing down. and I thought, was this? Oh, come all the houses look the same? And it was grey. I just cried and cried and cried. I was a kid, I was 15 then.
Were you gutted?
Oh man, it was a shock. I was happy to go because I thought, you know, it was just an holiday, get to know a different country.
Yeah.
Stuff that we normally used to do in family.
Yeah.
But then when I came here, it was completely different. And then we came in July. Sorry, I only had school in October. I couldn't find no school, so my mum was working. My sister, she was the only one who knew how to speak English. Mm-hmm. She's in Portugal.
So you couldn't speak, obviously,
nothing. No. Right. The only person, my dad used to live here, right? So
yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah.
And my mum started working with my dad, I believe. I can't remember, and cleaning something. And my younger sister, she was one. So it was me, 15 years old, looking after my younger sister, she was one.
Yeah.
And then my other sister, she was in school. The oldest one got a job straight away. So imagine me in East London, looking after my little sister, she was one. Every day at home, every day doing nothing. And then my mum used to come back around 2, I think. And he just walk about. Dad would walk about. And one day got lost. Because all the houses looked the same.
Yeah.
And I panicked. And I thought, what now?
When you're lying.
I think I came out around 2. I go back home around 9. I don't know, man. It's just walked around because all the houses looked the same. I knocked on different doors. Not English.
You're scared.
Oh, proper, man. And I managed to find a way. I can't remember exactly how. said, oh, I remember that bin. Boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I found the house, yeah. Like, I didn't tell nothing to my mum until, I don't know, last year or something.
Yeah,
it was hard.
Why did you move over? Do you know?
Yeah, my parents moved over because Portugal was nice, but no money.
Yeah,
like, pretty much like for a better life, really.
Came for a better life.
Just came for out of my choice, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, and then just came home.
You've done all right for yourself, though.
It was good, man. To be honest, I'm glad I done that.
Yeah.
Because every time I go back home now, I see all my friends, they're still there. Most of them, they're in jail, a few died, and the rest, they're kind of stuck on time.
Mm.
Like, literally, you wake up in the morning, they just chill outside.
They just see that as a norm, they don't see.
Yeah, they're just stuck in time.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And I thought to myself, if I was still there, I'll probably be one of them.
Yeah.
Or true. Selling drugs, or jail, or probably killed them, you never know.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm glad we moved here because
I'm a big believer everything happens for a reason.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, I was talking to an Asian lady a few weeks ago, who was helping me actually with the gym.
Yeah.
And she moved from Pakistan, I think it was.
Yeah.
And she said when she came here, she couldn't believe the amount of opportunity that's over here compared to where she lived. You know, she says she sees people mourning about how there's no jobs and stuff like this.
Which is true.
You haven't got a clue. She's turned herself into a successful businesswoman now.
Trust me. Because, for example, I've got friends. They got exactly the same job. Some people got here working in retail, Zara.
Yeah.
So, hey, they get paid quite decent.
Yeah,
There, imagine you do a full-time job. Do you know how much they get paid monthly?
Yeah.
400 euros.
For a month.
500 euros.
Yeah.
So imagine, they do, I don't know, when, like there's 60 plus hours.
I know, people are getting that,
you know,
like a week.
Say, and they get, exactly. Yeah. Hey, we get paid a week.
Yeah.
And they get paid twice as more.
Yeah.
And they don't complain. And I thought to myself, wow, imagine me working, getting paid every 31st or 30th of the month.
Yeah.
And then that's how they work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here, don't get me wrong, everywhere is hard. No matter where you go. Even
yeah, of course.
There's more opportunities where you have to chase them.
Yeah, you know? Do. Yeah,
you have to graft, but
it's out there, but it's not giving you.
But it's easier, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can.
Way easier.
I could see that.
You know, but I'm glad.
It's all there, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
pretty much. It's there.
You've got to get it.
Exactly.
You're probably competing with a lot of people to get it, but at least it's there. Yeah.
At least it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you moved over at 15. Did you get straight to school?
I went straight to year 10.
Right.
Yeah. I went to Dagenham Park School, I went straight to year 10 with zero English. So I met this girl, I spoke to the teacher, I said, listen, this is Rita, she's a Portuguese girl, but she was born here.
Yeah.
She goes, oh yeah, I'll help you, I'll show you about, in front of the teacher.
I bet you were for a bonus
straight. No, I'm like, oh, nice. So I'm not myself today.
Yeah.
As soon as we come out of the room, she went, she walked off. Schools in Portugal, they're big, but they're not massive.
Yeah.
Schools here. Wow,
there's a lot of people that are covered.
And I thought, I had like a timetable. Block F, block whatever. What block is this? Oh, block A. So where's block F? And she walked off. Literally, and I thought, what now? First thing, boom! I jumped the fence. I don't know. I was, and not just that, because in Portugal we don't use uniform, just normal clothing.
Yeah.
And having a blazer and tie. It was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a shock, like a big shock.
It's scary, isn't it?
And then
it's
look scary. Around the corridor, there's no one there.
Yeah.
So everyone, you know, in the classrooms. And I thought, what now? What now? What now? I opened the emergency door, climbed the fence, poof.
Gone.
Yeah. I was chilling in the park outside. Yeah, I was chilling in the park outside the school. And then in Portugal, we got different timetables. Because here it was like from 9 to 3, right?
Yeah.
In Portugal, you got a daytime one. You start at 1, finish, start at 9, finish at 1.
Mm.
Or start at 1, finish at 6. So I said to my mum, okay, I finished at 1 today. She looked at me, you sure? I said, yeah, I finished at 1. All right, she thought it was the same.
Yeah, same as Portugal.
And then for good, I'll say a good 5 months, I was just jumping and hiding myself outside. And I met one of my good friends till today, he's Portuguese. He was in the 11, Fabio.
Yeah.
He said, oh, listen, I'm new here. He said, don't worry, man, I'll help you out. He literally used to go late to his own classes.
Yeah.
To show him exactly where it was. Because remember, he got English, but he got set 1, 2,
It's all English.
So I went to the English class with him, said, I got English. Yeah, but you're on set 5. Oh, so what's this? Poof, down there. So I had to go on the other side of the school. It's the exact same class, but I was lower set because I knew nothing about English.
Yeah.
And then The only thing I was good at was maths, because the same.
Yeah, numbers. Numbers.
Yeah, so I knew, because school in Portugal is quite hard. Mm. So stuff that I used to do in year six, maybe.
Yeah.
I was doing year 10.
Right.
So I'm like, I've done this. So I knew.
Yeah.
What to do with it. So I went straight to set one.
Yeah.
So that's when, because the only thing I struggled was English. Everything was about writing. Because I was understanding, but yeah. I couldn't
understand that, because they say English is Alice's language.
Oh, yeah. I thought, because you used to watch, you know, movies, American accent.
Yeah.
So they were chatting to me, I thought, huh? What are you saying, man? And I said, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. For everything you were saying to me, you know, but it took me 6 months. It took me 6 months to be able to understand and talk back.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, right? Like, to listen to you now.
I have no choice.
Yeah, you've got you're running your own business over there.
It was good, yeah. It took me 6 months. And then after a year, I was a bad boy in school. So it was good. It was good times.
Bad boy in what terms?
Oh, man. Just because I always had a messed up mindset. And
yeah.
The reason why I didn't do bad stuff then, because I couldn't speak English.
Yeah.
But then I was always fighting. Because I knew they were talking bad stuff about me. I couldn't reply, man.
Yeah, you couldn't reply. But
I grabbed the extinguisher inside the class, and I'm throwing the extinguisher to the guy.
Yeah.
But then that was before I learned how to speak English. When I learned how to speak English, wow, man. David, well rude, man. That's when everything just changed.
Yeah.
And I was really good at football at the time. And then the school never won a match. Soon jumped in, we became champions that year.
Yeah, really?
Oh
come on, David.
Ain't lying, I swear.
I bet you haven't got any coordination with your feet, surely.
No, not. I swear, yeah.
Yeah.
I was quite good at football because really? I used to play for West Ham kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
I swear to me, one of my friends is still a footballer now. All of us, we used to play at the same time. And then
that'd have been another.
Yeah, it was just weird, man. I used to be really good at football.
Really?
Really good, yeah, really good. And then when we won the first game, last time we won was like 10 years ago, or whatever.
It's
so
Portuguese kids.
Imagine me looking around school now.
Yeah, you're the man.
I knew everyone.
It's funny how opinions change.
Yeah, you've seen him play football before. He's real sick.
Yeah, yeah. Never spoke a word to you before, but now I've seen you play football.
Yeah, that was it. And then when I started playing for West Ham, and then he said, you need to go to the gym to get stronger.
Right.
So I went to Peacock's gym, you know, the boxing gym.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, I trained there for a long time.
Right.
So the boxing coach said, okay, then do shadow boxing. What do you mean? So he used to walk around, you know, you'll give you a 10, you'll give you a 4. He looked at me, 1. next week, again, shadow boxing. 2. You'll give you a 10, David, 1. That broke me completely, right? So then I screw this boxing, man.
Yeah, bro.
And then, you know, boxing gym is quite expensive.
Yeah.
At the time, I had to pay, I don't know, monthly fee, and the page you go in, I had to pay for a card.
Yeah.
And mum said, listen, I haven't got money. Because football West Ham was free.
Right, okay.
And then when I went to the Peacock gym, it's well known gym.
Well, it's renowned,
All this Anthony Yard. They've been there since, that's when I started. All of us were just young.
Yeah.
And then I saw one of my best friends now doing Thai boxing. I said, what's that? Thai boxing? Oh, can I just jump in? Yeah. But you have to pay this and that.
Yeah.
So I just sat down watching him hitting pads.
Yeah.
So I had no money to pay.
Yeah.
And then that's when, this new place now called Fight for Peace. So what's that? There's a big black guy there, like, he's massive. But you know what? Oh, Thai boxing, all right then. So I went there, that's when everything started.
Yeah, that's class, because it's good that you mentioned that, because obviously we've just got involved with Fight for Peace. And I'm going to be down there in London next week, starting our journey with them. But, like, what did they do? Did they let you train for free then?
Basically, Fight for Peace started in Brazil in 2000.
Yeah.
A guy called Luke.
Their story is amazing.
Yeah, it's just wow, man. So basically, all the training, English and maths course for free. What else I did there? Security course done for free. The fitness course that I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything that I did. Mm. What I do now is through them.
Fight for Peace.
Yeah, literally for free. Not even paying them, pay for it. I swear.
See, he's a good friend of mine, Seb. He's got a gym in Hull called Vulcan.
Yeah.
And he's almost put me on to Fight for Peace.
Oh, nice,
and he's
nice,
doing
nice.
The same thing for kids in Hull. and they're doing apprenticeships there. The boxing, he's got pros, amateurs.
Oh, nice.
It's a proper, it's all free, they train for free, they're getting all in there. It's unbelievable.
That was for the kids.
Yeah.
Us, we imagine, I went to school, then I finished school, college. Yeah. But then I just went to college because all my friends went.
Yeah.
You know, but then at one point we just mess about a lot.
What do you think you might have done though if you hadn't found that gym? You know, like, if, because obviously you only went to go watch a friend because you couldn't afford to train. When, to be honest with you, we get kids like that coming in our gym. To be honest with you, I just let them off, you know what I mean? But I know they genuinely can't afford it. But what if it hadn't been for that? Like, what do you think you would have been doing?
That's when East London was messed up.
Yeah.
Around 2007, 8, 9. That's when I was just walking around. Imagine, finish college, school, go straight to the street and just chill out.
Yeah.
Looking at the buses, imagine there's a guy looking at us. Oh, why is there a man? Boom, chasing down. Fight, stabbing. If I didn't find 5 apiece at the time, it was just messed up. Like, London, that's when London was just proper bad. Proper bad.
I can imagine that it, you know, like we get, because I'm getting involved with all the kids and the young offenders and sort of like bad schools and stuff up here with the kids here. And I look at them and I think, you are nothing compared to some other areas of this country, and they think that they're this and they're that, and oh my God, you know, like, I know from conversations with you in the past, and I know the people that like live down south from different areas, and it's a different world.
Completely
London, different world.
So when you came to Leeds, look, if you've been Chapel Town, have you been to the airport?
It's different.
London one point is just, imagine, I used to live in Plaster. For me to go to Fight for Peace, I had to go through an area called Custom House. They are like, imagine, Plaster killed guy from Custom House killed guy from Plaster. And the only way that I knew is through Custom House to go fight for peace. So imagine.
So you had to walk.
One day, no, you had a bus, but then
the bus,
it's literally, I don't know, like a 200 meter road. And then guys jumping in the bus, jumped on us, and I used to go every day.
So yeah.
Jump in training, go to training, and come back, go to training.
So you went from sort of like watching it, they let you train.
Yeah.
And did you got into obviously Thai boxing, because I know you because of that, because of the Thai. How did your career turn out?
Because when I went to fight for peace, I saw Daniel.
I've seen Daniel, man. Yeah, and he, when you say big black guy, that's not even a good.
Yeah,
it's like massive, massive. The biggest black guy you've ever seen.
Man. So when I saw him,
I would not want a kick off him, man. Or a punch, nothing.
I was the fattest guy in class. He picked on me straight away.
Yeah, really?
And he said,
you don't like your food.
Yo, trust me. And he looked at me, and I froze. I never seen a guy so big, and looked at him. I said, I'm training, yeah. And I had a pink bag at the time. For a reason. Yeah. I had a pink t-shirt, Timberland pink. You know, those earrings.
And you thought you were cool.
Because I thought I was bad, man.
Yeah, this footballer.
Like, oh, no, football. Listen. Daniel, bro, I cried that day. Not because I was hurt, I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep up. Like press ups, you name it, sit ups. And then I thought I knew how to fight. I was playing against this kid. Wow, man. He punched me up. He punched me up. And I thought, I went home, I cried. The next day, I was the first one. The following day, I was the first one.
You went back up.
And then.
That's the thing.
I fell in love with the sport from the first. Although I got punched up. But then. Danny took me under his wing, literally picked me up from house, taking me to training, dropped me, sometimes at 1 a.m. I started getting to know England because of Danny, because we fought all over. They used to call us Daniel's peoples.
Right, really?
Because like, it's quite 6 or 7 of us.
Bit like a family sort
of thing. Yeah, and then until today.
I mean, Daniel's a very good friend of yours,
aren't he? Yeah, like,
when you were the best man? When you went to his wedding?
Yeah, I went to his wedding.
It just showed that journey, anyway, your coach.
Yeah, now I train him.
You train him?
Now I help him out for his own fights. Yeah. He taught me everything I knew. Like, from a jab, to stepping in, to stepping out.
Yeah.
Literally everything.
Probably from not just that as well, innit? Probably taught you a lot of things that didn't even reflect as well. Would you say he's been like a bit of a mentor in life?
More than that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say a father, because my dad was always there. Like an older brother. Like, literally. Even if I needed money to eat, he was just there.
Yeah,
like,
That's the sort of bond you get with your coaches,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I look at some of the lads that I train now, and even if someone just says a bad thing about one of them, it annoys me.
Yeah, because big time.
He don't even have to be about the boxing, just something about them. And like,
it comes family, though,
I'm with that kid every night.
Yeah,
it's like.
But in that bond, it was just with Daniel. It was Denise, Fight for Peace. Mm. It was with Sergio. Loads.
Are these other coaches?
No, Denise, one of them, she's working Fight for Peace.
Right.
I remember one day, I can't see Bray one, because I've got glasses or contact lens. I had nothing.
Yeah.
She took her own contact lens, because she was minus four like me,
right.
Minus 3.75 at the time. Yeah. She gave it to me. And I thought. And one day, she took from her own wallet £10.
Yeah.
Until today, I remember.
Because
I had no money to get some Fight for Peace to my house, or buy a weekly ticket or something. She gave me £10.
Yeah, good people around.
No, I don't think to myself, why is she doing this?
Mm.
Like, off the books.
Yeah.
She gave me, okay, £10 a full while, man. And until today, me and Denise would chat.
Yeah.
Sergio, Jason, Owen, that's all, the old school Fight for Peace mentor at the time.
See, I have met all these guys, Pete and Pigel. I mean, the only one I've met is Bally.
Yeah, Bally's a nice guy.
He's been up to us to see us.
Yeah.
But they sound like nice people. These are the sort of people I think you get around. Fight gyms, it's different, isn't it?
It's completely different.
I think if you're involved in especially teaching kids and stuff like that, you can't be in it for the money, man.
Yeah,
you're there to help them, aren't you?
Exactly, that's the thing.
You're there to change their lives.
And then, talking, you know, I saw other people, myself, the way they helped me was just, you know, I am where I am today.
Yeah.
Because of them.
Do you think you'll treat people the same because of that?
It's the only way that I know how to treat people the way they treat me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Good example, got guys sometimes, they're really good at fighting. For example, I say, oh, we'll do 1-2-1, I can't afford it. I'm like, well, come just train, let's come and train.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just say, okay, cool, just go.
Yeah.
Because I know he really loves, same as me.
Mm.
When I had no money at Peacocks, I didn't train.
Yeah.
Because I had no money to pay. They didn't say, okay, come and train. No money. Go on, then just go. Don't train them.
Thing is, though, it's nice that you appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I've had kids come in mine and they've been sent by the police and different organisations and stuff because they're causing havoc, they're causing trouble, antisocial behaviour, little things, you know what I mean? So I let them in and it's not costing them a thing, you know, like we were getting a little bit off at council.
Yeah.
In fact, well, this one time I had it off of a charity they were paying. So, and these kids were just didn't appreciate it. So they didn't realise that they were there for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we were letting them train. So I contacted the charity and I just sent the money back because I just said it's better used on some other kid because he didn't understand. I mean, luckily you were the one that stayed.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
But even that group that we started, imagine I say 30 of us.
Yeah.
Only 10. Hey, stayed.
Yeah.
You know.
There's so much.
At least a few stayed.
Yeah.
But then it used to be a massive group. And obviously the group just went small and small and small. And it's just us.
Yeah.
And we stayed until today.
Yeah.
And then we used to go to schools. That's when I started working the Fight for Peace.
Yeah.
The Outreach, with me and Ebenezer, the guys who work there. Outreach, Pathways, you know, pass on the message that we got from Nemlo.
Mm.
And now there's different generation working there, you know, which is a good thing.
Yeah, also it's great. It's
really good, yeah.
Completely changed your life around, really.
Completely, man.
Yeah. Then, I mean, what age were it? Because obviously we're up here now, we're in Leeds. When did you move up here?
2014. Yeah. 2014,
yeah.
And then I remember the day that I said to them, listen, today's my last day here.
Why did you decide to move up here?
Because at one point, I had no kids then. My missus, my first son, Daniel, when he was born. I named him after Daniel.
Yeah.
So when he was born, London was just mad expensive.
Yeah.
Like, we used to live
I've worked down there a lot. It is really expensive.
We used to live in a one bedroom flat.
Yeah.
Not as big as this, maybe.
And how many were living?
Me, my son, and my missus.
Your missus,
980 quid
a month. No.
That's without, you know, travelling to.
You could get like a four bedroom detached house or something for that.
980 or 950, something like that. A grand.
Oh my god, that's mental.
Every single month.
Yeah.
I didn't work. Only my missus.
Yeah.
I had a dream, okay, I'm going to be a fighter.
Yeah.
I used to work, you know, with Fight for Peace and security jobs and, you know that?
Doing what you can do, yeah.
And then it was getting tighter and tighter. My son was growing. I remember one day we had no nappies or for my son. That's when I realised, wow, man.
Yeah, make a change.
And then my missus sister, she was here already.
Yeah.
And then one day she said, okay, then let's give you a try. I felt sad living in London because my life was there.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think it was on a Thursday, we went online, we checked a few houses to the. So we came over, we slept in my sister's in law house. Okay, then we went and checked houses. Mm. Beeston, Belisle,
yeah.
Holbeck, da 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 da. And the last house that we checked, we liked it.
Right.
And then we just sat there and moved in.
That's good.
Literally, that was it.
It just shows that a lot of people that get stuck in the life, don't they? Yeah. You know, you've got to just make that choice sometimes.
The reason why I wasn't that scared because I came from Portugal.
Yeah, you've already done it.
Yeah, therefore, at the end of the day, it's the same language. It's the same thing, just moving cities.
Yeah.
And I just went, I didn't want to. I was sad in the beginning as well, man. Like,
at least you know you're not far from
people. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought, if you don't work, just go back.
Yeah.
Because I had a job in Fight for Peace anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the beginning, I used to go back often. Mm. I used to come back to London to do, like, because London security get paid quite a lot.
Yeah.
So I used to come Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or special events, or because I moved in November, so I went back to December time, New Year's.
Yeah.
So I worked in New Year's, I got paid quite a decent.
Yeah.
So I was coming.
Coming and going.
Yeah. And then, before I know it, I need to find myself a job here. Because my missus, I was me and my son.
What did you start doing when you came up here?
I started, because I had a security course.
So you were using your security? Yeah, right.
So one day I just put my passport
and you lost my number. Yeah.
And I just walked.
Right.
And I found the professional securities. Right. So I went there, I had an interview straight away, we're getting done. Cool. Yeah. Boom, 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 next day, do you want to work? Yeah. Just like that.
Yeah, that's good.
And then I said, okay, let me just work for a little bit. Because I didn't want to do security.
Yeah.
I stayed there for 3 years, maybe.
Yeah. See, some people just lie down and accept that they were you. Obviously, you needed to.
I needed to.
You
had to. Imagine seeing my missus work and then just me and my son at home.
But you carried on your Thai boxing up here as well.
Yeah, because I spoke to Richard Smith.
Yeah.
So I mentioned before I came up here. So listen, I'm coming up to ladies. Any chance I can come and join you guys and fight for you guys? I said, yeah, definitely. Da, da, da. But then it took me a good month because I wanted to go, but then I didn't know what it was, and I was just, you know, trying to get a job. Da, 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 da. But as soon as I went there, Richard was saying, listen, you're gonna fight for us. I didn't pay, it was just fighting for them.
Really? Yeah, see, I've never met Richard, but I've seen a lot of things about him. Obviously, I know Jordan Watson, he's like a world level
fighter.
Yeah, I know of Leo Madison, I've never met him, but I know Jordan more. So I know it's a good gym.
Yeah.
I mean, did you get to number two?
Yeah, I was number two in the UK, yeah. I was ready before I came up here, because I used...
Oh, already, yeah, I was ready.
Because I thought, I trained with Daniel, but before I moved to Leeds, I used to fight for a team called Team 2.
Okay.
So I was already higher ranked in the UK,
right.
Loads of fighters. But I knew, I said, if I go to Leeds, it's the best team, one of the best teams in the world.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Richard just went, oh, come up here, train, and fight. And I was like, I had already two fights scheduled when I came up here.
Yeah.
So imagine, I came in November, I had a fight in January.
Yeah.
So I didn't train.
No, that's, yeah. You went through a lot out here at the time.
Yeah, so I went. It was weird, because it was a funny one, because it was England against Portugal.
Right.
And I was representing
England. You were representing England.
It was weird, man. So we went back home, all of us sat down. One of the guys was a professional boxer now, Jamie Whelan.
All right.
Yeah, so all of us sat down, and I knew they were talking rubbish about us. Before, all of us in English, and I replied in Portuguese, they went, because he knew the name David Sá, is it Portuguese? I didn't say a word, I didn't say enough, they were chatting, I was just there. And then when I didn't train, I think I trained a week for that fight. I made weight because I was stressed.
Sounds about right for you.
Man, trust me. I think I trained a week or something, I went there. It was a good fight as well, but then the guy just took it. And then after the fight, I said, how come he knew what I was doing? I said in Portuguese. I was listening to your corner. The guy looked at me.
That's class.
For a hook, I was going. For a low kick, I was just listening to everything pretty much. And then my coach is English, saying in English.
Yeah.
So I was just. I didn't train. And I guess
did you win?
Oh, no, the guy won. All of us, England, apart from one fight. I think one. I can't remember. Or all of us lost the fight.
Oh, right.
And then you should have seen him. Or. Before the English fighters, all of them are full time fighters. I was a woman on the student at the time as well. And I thought, why are they lying? In front of TV, and
why are they lying?
You know, it's one of them ones, man. It was fun, you know. Until now, those guys that we're still friends, Jamie, Grace, us, we still talk, you know. So it was a good experience.
Developed a bond with that,
team. So, but then I had a second fight, I think it was March, but I was already training them. Yeah, it was just one fight straight after. Yeah. And I just fought. It was.
How many fights did you end up having?
Altogether?
Yeah.
45.
Wow.
Yeah, nearly there, 45, 40. Yeah, so it was quite. I fought for a long time.
Yeah.
For a long time.
And you retired quite early, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say retired because you never know, but you did stop.
Yeah, I stopped.
It's been a couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, but then. First time, I think we were here then when I hurt my knee really bad.
Yeah, well, we used to train, didn't we? Yeah, yeah. Like, your knee went back.
To the point, remember, I think I was doing boxing pads with you.
Yeah.
And I stepped back.
Yeah, knees, and you just. No,
yeah.
Yeah.
But then I just lost the fire. It's
weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just
lost the fire.
Do you get asked now, like, if you're going to fight? And
yeah, everyone asks me, like,
people say that to me, and I just think.
Young,
I don't think I've got it in me.
No.
And like, honestly, I don't.
Lost
like,
it for some reason.
If somebody wanted to spar,
that's
but you know,
yeah.
Like.
I still spar, I still.
I don't think I could get myself up on the morning running. I don't think I could.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it now. Not like I used to. I think.
Yeah, it's different.
I like to train.
Yeah,
like I'm happy training 3-4 times a week for an hour at a time.
Yeah, but as you know, training for a fight is different.
It is. You, mentally, everything your whole life revolves around the fighting, doesn't it? Everything that you do, what you eat, how you sleep.
Completely different.
The time that you finish work and.
And I'll say to people, if I train for a fight, I won't be able to teach.
No, that'd be the same. I'd probably be a completely different person as well.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. And I thought to myself, when I start teaching, it's my job now.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, man. For some reason, I've always been good at holding pads, but I didn't know how to teach.
Because
a lot of guys are not, you know, come up with the game plan.
Yeah.
And then, for some reason, I start studying fighting. I thought, wow, what are you doing for some reason? And I start understanding more. Because before, for me, it's just type boxing. Yeah. Screw boxing. Screw that. It's just type boxing.
Yeah.
But then when I start studying fighting, I realize, wow, I need to know all of this. Martial arts, sports, to understand fighting, fighting regardless.
Yeah.
You know, so even though you do Thai boxing, you might find the guy's really good at boxing. Mm-hmm. He's a really good boxer. So you need to learn how to be a boxer.
Yeah, definitely.
Or guy's really good at kicking. You need to learn how to, you know. So I was enjoying and learning and training people and you're winning. I thought, wow, I felt like that was fighting.
Yeah, I agree with that. You kind of feel like you yourself through them, innit?
Yeah.
Not in like a bad way, you know, like as in like a pushy parent or anything.
Yeah, but it was just.
It's nice that you've taught them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Taught from nothing, they didn't know how to stand, nothing. And then
you're like, oh, you want to fight? Often that
first fight.
And they believe in you.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
everything you tell them.
Exactly.
It's a powerful thing.
Exactly, yeah. Everything I said, even if I say, imagine, throw 100 jabs,
do it. Yeah.
You know,
they think that's what they need to do.
Wow, man. So, and it's actually, it was working. And then I just decided, you know what, let me just stick to this, see how it goes. And then,
probably a bit similar, both of us in that way. Yeah. I mean, you give you 700% in what you're doing, it. So
exactly, yeah. It's the only way, really.
If I'm coaching, I've got to do it. That's it. It's just coaching.
Because I tried at one point to train and fight. I mean, teach and fight. It don't work.
No, I can imagine. I know I couldn't do it.
It doesn't work at all,
especially now, like, you get. If you've got your lads fighting on a weekend and stuff, but you'll be turning fights down, or if you're fighting, you have to turn their belts down. Just, it don't work.
Don't work.
No.
Because although it was a team sport, but it's a selfish sport.
Yeah, it is. You've got to be selfish. Yeah.
It's just you.
Everything around you, though, with your family, your partner, everything, you've got to be selfish. I don't care what anyone says.
Fighting is hard, man. Yeah. Like, literally, jumping in the ring, for me, was the easiest part. You throw, I throw. But then they were 15 weeks behind them, 12 weeks behind, even sometimes last minute fights, lose 6 kilo. Well, last time I lost 20 kilos, nearly collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
20 kg in 3.5 weeks.
Yeah. People don't understand that, they don't see that
it's
side
just,
of it.
Wow, man.
When we get people coming in the gym and they say, oh, you know, I want to box, and I look at them and I think, oh, man, you know, like, you're a long way off getting to that stage. And then you've got to be careful what you wish for, because
fighting is mega hard.
It's very, very hard, and
that's
what stress it so much.
Guys, you know, I want to fight. So listen, come, let's just train.
Yeah.
Enjoy the training.
Just enjoy it. Just
because once you go, if you're going to be a fighter, you have to be 100%.
Yeah.
No 99%, no 98%. It's 100% you have to go, because it's hard. You're going to get hurt. You'll get hurt. You will get mad injuries. You will.
Yeah. I have these conversations with the young people at gym, like, and you know, because what we have, we've got like a beginner sessions either side, like juniors and seniors, but then in between that, we've got like 2 hours worth of session for his advanced, for his cardio boxers. And if anyone put a foot wrong, I'm fuming. Do you know what I mean? We caught some walking on a run for a day and abandoned him for a week because his arm training, you know, don't bother coming to the gym. And some of the parents, I mean, some of them backed me, some of them thought I were being harsh, and there were a lot of people around me that thought I were being harsh. But if you put a kid in that ring, right,
exactly.
I don't think they quite gather the fact, all right, in amateurs they're wearing head guards and stuff like that, they're getting punched in the face, man. You can get knocked out, you can break your nose, you can anything.
Exactly.
And I'm going to put someone in that ring who don't deserve
safety.
To get in that ring.
You don't understand, yeah. Safety comes first.
If they're not willing to live that life, then exactly. They're not. They should just go do the beginners, go do as simple as fitness.
That's why when they say you can't play fighting.
No.
You know, because end of the day, you're not kicking a ball, you're not. Those sports are hard. Those
no,
sports are
I agree,
hard.
I agree.
But you get punched and kicked and elbow. I've seen guys getting hurt really bad, like, because they slacked in training. Not because they got better, because they slacked.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
They skipped 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Or I say, run 10 times, you run 4. And then, boom, what happened? Oh, he just caught me. So he caught you because.
Yeah, it's not.
You know what I mean?
It's not that moment in the fight. It's happened long before then.
Exactly.
Right?
So.
And then you might be able to tell now, because like, I know I can, leading up to bouts and stuff. I know who's ready and who ain't.
Trust me.
And I've pulled them out before.
It's just, some guys, they always go, I want to fight. So listen.
Difference between saying it and doing it.
Yeah, because sit up, they want to fight, but they only do one-to-ones with me. Because there come classes, you need to spar.
Yeah, I say this to people.
Because
yeah.
One-to-ones, it's extra.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
He's not, you know what I'm trying to say?
That's like the icing on cake.
Yeah, that's it.
If you want to be a fighter, you've got to get yourself in a proper fight gym. And you've got to be in there every day, early, staying late.
And then I'm going to tell you to go and do bag.
It's listening to you getting beat up in the beginning, crying and going through all that. You know, like, that's a fighter.
That's
not someone who comes and, oh, I'll do a bit of one-to-one and I'm going to be good. No.
That's why I said, if you're not, let's accept this guy, listen, if you're not fight, if you just want one-to-ones, you're not going to fight.
No.
I want you to come to every single class here and show me that.
Yeah.
Don't tell me, I want to see it. You know, because you can tell when someone wants.
Gosh, yeah,
you can see it.
You can tell when they want to.
These guys here, they come before class, they smash 5 rounds of bag, train, smash bag, go to the running treadmill. I'm like, whoa, okay then. He wants it.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a word.
No.
It's every day, day in, day out. I come in the morning sometimes, 7 a.m., 6 a.m. to all parts, one to ones. Is there on bag?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's what you want. It's like the model.
I don't need to say nothing.
No.
It's just there. You know, so that's when you know who wants to fight.
Yeah.
And who doesn't. Yeah.
It's there's a fine line there, isn't there?
Exactly.
And as coaches, that's just what we've got. What exactly. We're going to do. So it's like you've gone through it now. You moved up here and stuff. But like, what are you doing now? What I know you're coaching.
Yeah. So now, because I've been, I used to mainly teach Thai boxers.
Yeah.
Thai boxing, Thai boxers.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, the mutual came about.
Yeah. Because
so I start. Teaching MMA fighters.
Yeah.
It's a bit of fun beginning. Wow, all the pads to MMA guys. It was completely different. Because, MMA, although you're still striking involved, but completely different stance.
It is.
For the sport.
Completely different, yeah.
And then, I like it because it's a new challenge.
Mm.
Okay, then, there's certain guys that are really good at punching and grappling. Some guys are good at kicking and grappling.
Mm.
So, teaching them Thai boxing for their own sport in different techniques, different people,
different angle in it.
You know, it was good. You know, because I was studying and working and seeing guys progressing every time, and it coming to me, oh, thank you, I've done that, and it worked. And seeing guys in fights doing it, and then that was it. Yeah.
And
so you picked up big time.
You're quite involved with the MMA team now.
So I teach all the striking now. Yeah.
And you got onto the UFC.
Yeah. Wow, man, that was. I couldn't believe it was weird.
Yeah.
Because.
Is it Mark?
Mark the Kissy.
Yeah.
So we came over and then he said, oh, we got Mike to the. Can you hold pass for him? I said, yeah, I can hold pass for him. We just connect good.
Yeah.
And then we just started working. I was helping me striking. And then he was on. I think it was on a loss. Free loss or something. Because UFC, if you lose 3 times something.
Yeah, it's fickle, isn't it?
It's a fight business. Yeah. And then we start training from October, I believe.
Mm.
In the fight, he had fights coming up at the time. We didn't need nothing, so we were just training. So, next fight, March, UFC London. So, he's on it. It's all right, you know.
Okay, they get me there.
But he went through hell, like.
Did he?
But he's a fighter. You know, I've seen him. Wow, man, imagine. One point, he was doing sparring, the rest was sprints.
Mm.
Rest time was doing sprints.
Right.
he was coming off treadmill, training back on. I mean, take the trainers, jump on cage, wow, sparring, poo 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 against Rico, the Ben.
Really? Right.
Poo poo poo.
Matt's, from what I think I've seen them both, Matt's a bit smaller than him as well.
Yeah, Rico's like similar height, but Rico's bigger.
Yeah.
Slightly, yeah. So, but it was Rico and two other guys, right, like a shot team.
Like fresh.
And then after sparring, jump on treadmill, shin pads on, off, trainers on, he was sprinting, finish again, jump, yo.
You can't put that there, that's some rule wanted to win,
to the point, the last minute was sprints. Yeah. Me and Rico looking at each other, wow.
The guy ain't stopping.
Like, he was dead. Yeah. Literally went to that autopilot, just doing it. And then, yeah, when I went to UFC, it's just, I've been to all bigger shows of striking, can you imagine? But it was a different
feel.
Different level, man. Just on the way in, I had my phone recording, and all of a sudden, just went, I froze, and I started shaking.
Yeah.
And I was right behind Mike, walking to the stage for the way in.
Yeah.
And I turned around, like a football stadium,
full
of people. And I grabbed my phone and put it in my pocket.
You think you made it?
Oh, I was shaking. I was like proper nervous. And I went up the stairs like, please don't fall. Like proper slow.
Yeah.
And in the end, next day it was a fight. And he won.
That's classic.
Like, really good performance. Yeah. And everyone came up so well done. And even before, because we stayed a week in London, we had this, you know, training room for all the fighters that are there. And then some coaches that I used to see in TV came up to me. Like, really good striking coach. I couldn't get it at the time.
Yeah, you weren't quite ready.
Like, I was just, thinking. And after the fight, Mike's opponent, the coach, he's a really good coach from TriStar.
Right.
I don't know if you know, he's the coach of George St. Pierre.
Like, oh, right.
Yeah, so imagine, you know, he came up to us and he spoke, and I looked at him and said, I know this guy, man. But then, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
When I went home, just be one of the best coaches.
Yeah, that's and all the shoulders.
People were sending me stuff. I saw you like worlds sending me stuff.
I was just gonna say, like, I you won't even know this, but I was getting messages and calls and stuff that night because I know you. They were like, "Yo, mate, David's on, he's on UFC." I don't watch UFC. I haven't got a clue really about the sport. Yeah. I didn't even know this fight was happening that night. I knew you were training, man, but I didn't know when it was. And then everybody were like, "Oh, David's on." And I was getting like screenshots and stuff like that.
Had loads of sending like statistics, like striking, just pretty much Mike just striked him, like outclassed him, elbow, kick, knee.
You got quite busy after that as well, but
out the roof, man.
Yeah,
My Instagram didn't stop.
Really?
Oh, can I train? And I thought, I've been here all this time.
I know it's a good thing, I get that a little bit.
I've been here all this time.
I've been here years, and now you're asking. But obviously, you've got to.
Every day is my job.
Yeah, you've got to prove.
And I thought, you know what? I've been here a long time, and then now because they seen a big name.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I became one of the best coaches. And then even if I teach rubbish, because I also knew to see this.
Yeah,
but it was good because after Mark, I've helped the guy called Danny Roberts as well as a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
So I helped him.
He's still training, Mark.
No, he's in Holland now.
Right.
Yeah, because he's got a fight coming up on the 28th.
Yeah.
Because I was in Portugal.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting a little stable.
Yeah, so it was really good.
That's mint.
Really good.
Obviously, we've talked a lot about your life and like work and stuff like that. If you could go back now, or if you were talking to your kids, or to yourself when you were younger, what advice would you give them? Just go for it.
Yeah, like steady feet, but go for it.
Yeah,
because a lot of kids, for example, if I had the same support I give to my son, if I had it from my parents, right now I'll be, I don't know, man. Imagine my son, my dad said to me, "Okay, then I'll pay you for you to fight. I'll pay you this. I'll help you." If I had that, trust me, right now I'll be one of the best ever.
Yeah,
because a lot of people they fail because they have no support. So imagine now. Because you know, being a fighter, you start getting paid
nothing.
Nothing, pretty much.
People think, I want to be a professional boxer and what have you. And
until
I just
you
think,
make it, it's years.
Yeah, like,
you know, if my son's telling me right now, I want to be a footballer, cool.
Yeah.
I'll support you, but then you have to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you just go for it. It's hard, it's mega hard. But then, if those guys made it, why not you?
Yeah, why can't you?
You know?
Yeah.
And then just go for it and grind and, you know.
Well, as a coach now, me and you have been through like quite a lot of stuff, probably very similar stuff, like with one-on-ones and doing classes and things. Because we do get coaches listening to this. What advice would you give to coaches, maybe especially new ones that are coming in?
Be patient.
Patient, yeah.
You know, because it takes time. Because some guys are just boom,
they learn everything quick, and
but some of them just takes
it does
a long time. Yeah. They become really good after. I was one of them. It took me forever. Not forever. I was learning fast, but then. The only problem I had at the time is being physically fit.
Yeah.
I had a technique.
You had that athleticism.
Yeah, but then I didn't have everyone knew I could do press-ups and, you know, but then that took his time.
Yeah.
Imagine 10 press-ups, okay, then you do 10, but three into twos, into threes, it took his time.
Yeah, that's,
you know, so
it's very important. Yeah.
Although I have a big group, some guys do 10, they do 50.
Yeah.
You know, I believe being patient and just, you know, work with your student and, if you grind, you get something out of it.
Some of them are slow burners, but that's some of them slow burners are the best ones.
I'm telling you, yeah. They work hard.
We get some kids coming in our gym, and you can just tell by how they stand straight away. They're like, wow, he's got
some just
that balance, perfect, you know, everything. Some of them, pff, no coordination with hands or feet, nothing. I mean, one of our boxers is probably one of our best ones now. We've probably got five or six that say we're as top fighters. Brandon.
Yeah, I know.
And it was only this time last year, he'd only had a skills fight, right? And he's had 10 fights now, but took him about a year, 18 months to get.
You see what I mean?
He couldn't get it, he couldn't, you know, and he don't know, like, it's probably the first time he's heard me say this, right? But he couldn't, and I was watching him think, I felt frustrated for him because I thought he's trying so hard.
He wanted that back.
And all of a sudden, he just came and he just started winning fights. You know, and it's, I always know with him, there's always going to be a bit of a dip at times, and then you've got to just wait.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, being patient and just helping as much as you can.
Yeah.
You know.
Patience is a big thing. What's next for David then? What's your aims? Like, where, because you're busy, I know that. You've been rammed out for years. Like, when I were here, non-stop, one-to-ones, obviously you're getting on now with the MMA team, you've got your Thai fighters. What do you think now? Like, what? Are you just chilling?
No, I always think ahead. Like, to be honest, it's a good question because I know what I want, and I don't know what I want. It's weird. It's a hard one to explain because I want to be known one of the best coaches.
Yeah.
Like, because imagine each coach they got their own style.
Yeah.
If you go to they got this kind of good boxes. They could the they came from that gym. I want people to recognize my work.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's through fitness, I don't care if it's through boxing. People recognize who I am. Having a stable name, okay, this is David.
So they see a fighter up in that ring and without you even being there, you could see he's been trained by David,
Exactly, yeah. Because some people can tell.
Yeah.
There's some bad company got a style that. They got different styles, but the base is the same.
Yeah.
Or he's from Richard Smith's gym. They know straight away.
Yeah.
Oh, he's from.
Isn't it funny that?
I like boxing. That. Yeah,
it's you can just tell a fighter straight away.
You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. You know, that's from Jack's gym.
Yeah.
I want that. Or that's from David's gym. That's from whatever.
Do you think you might have your own gym?
I want to, I want to, like, being able. It's one thing, because a lot of guys, when they open the gym, they stop teaching. I don't want that.
No.
I want to be able to teach all the time.
Well, that's the thing with me, you know, like,
I want to teach all the
time. Now I'm getting all this Fight for Peace stuff and we're turning into like a non-profit organisation. Yeah. People are telling me, like, you need people working for you now and you need this. But for me, I'm a coach, that's me, that's where my heart lies.
Yeah.
Like, doing all of this.
More interacting.
Doing all this paperwork and stuff, that's not me.
I can't.
I like to be in there, I know everything about everybody that comes in the gym.
Exactly. You know all the names.
I'm the one who speaks to the parents, I'm the one who organises everything. I don't want that to change because I think as soon as that changes,
that's not me.
Yeah, I'm not the boss. I'm them. I'm with them. You know what I mean? I'm part of that.
I'm the same. Yeah, like when I open my own gym, I want to be able to. Probably one thing that might stop is one-to-ones.
Yeah, because
you know
I've taken a similar thing.
Yeah, one-to-ones because it's hard non-stop.
It's so hard on your shoulders,
big time, wrists,
very tiring.
Yeah, but classes. 100%.
Yeah, I love them.
classes, like
being I enjoy one on ones.
Yeah, same, yeah. Same, but it's hard.
It is, it's tough on
one after the other. Mentally. And there's some guys that can punch really hard.
Yeah, tell me about it. They don't have to take you up, pads.
Punching, kicking really hard to point. And also training on top after. Sometimes I'm completely broken. I didn't train, but I'm like, what's going on? Like, my forearms are gone, shoulders are gone, and then.
As bodies are getting older, trust me. Too young, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but to be honest, if I'd stop, I'd stop once, and you just teach.
Yeah.
Like different classes, beginners, intermediate, fighters, their fitness, just being able to still interact.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
I think you can.
At least, yeah.
Definitely, I think it'd be busy straight away, if you ever got anywhere.
You take, like I said, that's why when I saw you, when you opened your gym, I liked it because you started from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, literally, you painted your own thing. Mm. You had to build your own thing. Yeah. You know, now look at that.
Yeah.
So imagine in 5, 6, 10 years time.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want. I don't want nothing fancy.
You don't need it though, does it? And at the end of the day, the fancy you don't create, for my opinion, you don't create world champions out of a fancy gym.
Simple as that.
You don't, man.
Simple. Some people do go to a nice gym, fair
enough. Yeah, yeah, but, you know.
Well, I just want a nice place with equipment.
Yeah.
I don't care if the bag is ripped, I don't care if, whatever.
Yeah.
So being able to train in there.
And the, like you said, you know, it's the impact that you can have on people. Isn't
exactly,
it?
Yeah.
What do you need? You know, like you were sat about at Fight for Peace, and now look at you now.
Exactly.
You know?
Cause I remember we trained this gym in Tottenham. Wow, man. When he had mats and floor, the floor was like concrete, broken concrete, bare foot, kicking and then ripping my foot.
Man.
For years.
Before they were health and safety.
And remember once, the canvas was ripped, so I was coming out of the ring, and my toe got stuck in the canvas. Yeah. So I come out, poof, snap my toe. Because that shows how bad. We just trained for years.
Yeah.
It's hard on the floor and everything, yeah.
And my amateur gym, it was a makeshift ring. It wasn't even square, it was rectangle. It was had the poles next to you and stuff. You had to you were just aware.
We can't get you aware.
You're aware of what I'm sparring, you know, I can't rest on ropes there.
Yeah.
Metal beam behind me. Even pro gym, it wasn't a proper ring. It was people think I'm exaggerating, but they used to put, my coach used to put metal poles in floor. Put the rope around it. I mean, it were a perfect size ring.
Yeah.
When it was put there, it wasn't a proper ring. Yeah. And then you just take it down after. And you, in that gym, I mean, I want that kind of level, but they'd have British champions, world champions. Yeah.
But there's that place that was always happy there.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, all of us just sat down and chat. We didn't see that place as a rubbish place.
No, that was
great. Clean it.
Felt at home.
Like, clean the floor, clean the bags, train. Next day, train.
I hope some of our fighters are training. Cleaning.
It's one thing that, Daniel's my coach. We had a coach on top of Daniel.
Yeah, right.
Vinny. He's one coach that you check him your t-shirt for me.
Ah, little things. Like, makes a big difference.
You can't just chat to him like that. No. Your hand has to be here or back.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine. I've got a lot of respect I've learned from him.
That's it.
Like, little things, man. You can't just. Man says, okay, now we're going to start the drill. If you talk while he's talking, I'll suffer big time, man, because I like to talk. man. It's just, you can't mess about.
No.
End of the day, I thought, at the time, I didn't get it. Why is he so mean? Why is it this? Why is it that? But then after a while, I thought, wow, now that I'm teaching, I hate when I'm demonstrating a thing and someone's like,
oh, it annoys me. It's little things, man. I can't even do when the. I tell my fighters have to be 15 minutes early.
Yeah,
and if they're not 15 minutes early, I class that as late. It does me head in for those things.
That's what I realise. Okay, wow.
It just nags at me.
Like, it's like, okay, guys, we're doing the jab cross hook. And the guy's looking at that way. So what's the combination? I don't know. So let's just explain for the past 5 minutes. Yeah, but some of them say, oh, yeah, no. Go on, show me.
Yeah.
You know, so little things like that. I was one of them at the time. But I was just learning. I thought, I know everything.
Now do you look at them when you're doing the same? And they're looking at you like they hate you.
You think,
I always think in my head, in 10 years' time, you're going to remember us, and you're going to be learning.
I hate Daniel. Like, I cuss him so bad, so many times. Yeah. Like, I used to hide sometimes. He used to come Fight for Peace, because we used to train at Fight for Peace in some other gym.
Because
that gym was 24 hours.
Right.
I used to hide, looking through the window. It's gone now. So he used to come out, he's still there. I said, then I have no shorts, so.
Yeah.
I have no gloves, so let's go.
Yeah.
I used to give him shorts, massive shorts.
Get
I had no choice. Yeah. So imagine, train at 5:37 until 9, jumped in the car, go straight to North London.
Dumont.
Train. Come back home around midnight 1.
Wow.
Next day, same thing. And then next day, same thing. And next day, same thing. For years, man.
Brought you away, yeah,
for years. And it was good because my mum knew what I was.
Yeah.
She trusted.
She trusted him.
Yeah, big time, man.
A lot of trust gets
picked him up, dropped him home, picked me up, dropped me home. Mm. Like, I have nowhere else to go apart from gym, training, Daniel. Gym, training, Daniel.
I bet she was so thankful that you found
him. Yeah, yeah, just, yeah. It was the best thing that happened in my life, really.
Let's wrap it up, Davi. We've been nearly an hour.
It was good, man. Yeah, really
talk, Howard.
It was good.
Cheers, pal. Thank you.
Appreciate that, man. Nice one.